Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
As April said, I'm a music expert. I love that. That's quite a thing to have somebody say about you. I'm a board-certified music therapist. You may not have a clue what that is, but it has been my dream job to help people who are suffering with music. It's a great privilege to come alongside people who are suffering, but you know, I always knew that it was my dream job, even before I knew what it was, right? Because as a kid, I didn't know what music therapy was. But I knew I would sit on my porch, just like I'm sitting right now, and like Snow White in the movie, I would sing to the squirrels in the front yard and the birds sitting in the trees. And I would sit there a long time. And I would wait for them to come and be my friend. And I was sure that they would. Because even as a kid, I knew something special happens when you sing. I didn't quite get it, but it was somewhere in my DNA. But let me tell you what happened. As I started to get older, I started to sing less. Life that was simple got a little more complicated. Life that was easy got a little bit harder. And even before I finished my music degree, singing became difficult. I lost my patience more. I said things that I regretted more frequently. I made decisions that when I looked back on them, I thought, what were you thinking? Can anyone else relate? Please tell me. I'm not the only human being here, okay? I want to say welcome to humanity, right? Because you've been there. You've been in a moment, and you've acted in a way completely inconsistent with who you believe yourself to be. You look back and you think, why on earth did I buy that car that I had no business buying? Why did I say yes to do this thing this day of all days? Why didn't I speak up in that moment when I knew what was right and I watched it happen and I did nothing about it? Why does it seem that in stressful situations we become different people? There's an answer to that question. And the answer is because in stressful situations we actually become different people. We actually become different people. And as a result, stress hinders our clear connection with God. Have you ever noticed that? You're at the worst of your worst, and you need to hear God the most, the clearest, right now, and he seems the farthest away. Stress hinders our clear connection with God. So let me explain to you why. Why that happens. Stress, we assume, is an emotional state, but that's actually an inaccurate assumption. Stress is a physical state that is the result of hormones being released into our body. The hormone system is a system of chemicals that your body releases into your bloodstream. And in the stress state, which some of you are familiar with being called fight or flight, although that's a little outdated, because when we're sitting at a desk, we're not fighting or flighting anything, and we are just as stressed as our ancestors 500 years ago who were, right? But the state of stress is these hormones flow through our physical bodies, through our bloodstream, changes our bodies in response to real or perceived danger. It doesn't even have to be real danger, folks, in order for the stress response to be a reality in your body. And what it does is it changes your body. It sends more blood to your large muscle groups, your quadriceps, your big old back muscles that are ready to fight. And it reduces blood flow to things like your stomach and your intestines. No need to digest food right now, right? And it also decreases your immune function. Right now, we don't need white blood cells. We need red blood cells carrying as much oxygen as we possibly can carry to those huge muscle groups that are contracting with greater force than they usually contract. For some of you, it's these muscle groups. As you sit there stressed, holding the wheel of your car, or with your fingers on the keyboard. You know what I'm talking about. And it's not just our physical bodies that change in stress. Stress is also a mental state. Just as your body shifts the blood flow in your large muscle groups, it shifts the blood flow in your brain. You don't need as much blood to your frontal cortex where you problem solve and you reason and you think clearly. You need the blood to go to the portions of your brain that control those large muscles that now have all the blood. So all of a sudden, you're in a state physically to fight for your life to survive, not think clearly. Because when you're in the stress response, all that matters is right here. It's not even the kid in the back seat, which is how I know y'all know what I'm talking about. Whether it's your kid or your grandkid that was in the back seat and somebody cuts you off and something comes out of your mouth that you never would say in front of your child, that you've told your child 100 times, don't ever say this, your brain shuts down. And who you are changes in stress. This is not God's best plan for humanity. Isn't that good news, right? It's not God's best plan. But see, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, sin entered the DNA of human beings. And one of the things we all deal with is a distrust of God, which is why we have a stress response. Because perfect, complete trust of God completely dismisses the stress response. If God's taking care of everything, I don't have anything to worry about. And the Bible is filled with admonitions not to fear, not to be afraid, and not to worry. But see, it's not just as simple as making a decision with our will to not be stressed and not be worried, because our body is making decisions for us without consulting our calmer selves. The body doesn't say, oh, before I put adrenaline in your bloodstream, is it okay with you if I do that right now? There isn't a conversation. It happens. And so while your will may choose not to worry or not to be afraid or not to fear, your body is doing something else without your permission. And so there's really good news we've been talking about in this series. God is for us. And the Trinity is here to help. And Trey helped us understand that God is three persons, equal, all in one. God the Father, who's the creator and the communicator, talking to us all the time, revealing himself in creation. God the Son, also fully God. And in this series, we're understanding that he's the one that makes the connection with God possible. As we place our faith in his finished work that covers our sin and allows us to be reconnected with God the Father. And then we have God the Holy Spirit, who is the coach sent by Jesus and God to help us walk in all truth, to lead us in all truth. He is actually the clarity of the connection to God the Father. It's a fabulous arrangement, the Trinity. In stressful and difficult times, when we need to hear God the most clearly, right, because we're not thinking well for ourselves, the stress response has the possibility of breaking our connection to God. Some of you should be objecting in your spirits, because the stress response cannot break our connection to God. What Jesus did on the cross cannot be broken. Can I say that again? This connection that Jesus made on the cross when he paid for our sin and through his resurrection can never be broken. But some of you feel like yours has been. And so what we're going to address today is the clarity of the connection. Because what you're experiencing is not a broken connection. You're experiencing an unclear connection, a chopped call. And Paul helps the early church understand this a little bit more clearly, and it's going to be helpful to us today. He wrote about it specifically to the church at Thessalonica and to the church at Ephesus, and we have those letters and can look at that today. I'm going to take us first to 1 Thessalonians 5, where Paul says to them, do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Now, didn't I just say that he was God, the Holy Spirit? equally God, just the same as God the Father and God the Son. So how on earth can we stifle him? This is a question we should be asking. And Paul let them know the answer to that question in the verses that came before this one. Always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who are in Christ Jesus. Joyful, praying, thankful. Is that you in a stressful moment? Yeah, me either. We might actually be stifling the Holy Spirit. Take a look at what he says to the Ephesians about this very same topic. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Now, what could you possibly do that would bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit? Paul goes on to tell us. Get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Anybody recognize someone having a bad day in this verse? Yeah. On our worst days, most of us are sorrowing the Holy Spirit. There are alternatives. Take a look. The very next verse. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Can we just admit this is a tall order on a day when it feels like the world is crumbling beneath our feet and we may not make it to see tomorrow? You pair these realities with the fact that our cognitive functioning is impaired and we can't even in that stress moment fully understand these realities that we're living in, and it seems kind of hopeless that we could ever hear God when we're at our worst and when we need him the most. But God has given us something. A lot of somethings, actually. He's given us tools, and we talked about those last week. The first tool is the Bible. When you can't think well for yourself, open the pages, right? Somebody's done a lot of thinking for you, and it helps us understand what God's voice sounds like as we read the words of Jesus Christ. And can I tell you, the voice of Jesus Christ doesn't sound much like my voice when I am stressed out. Prayer is another tool that we've been given. Prayer is our opportunity to invite God to be God in our moments that are a mess and ask for the help that we so desperately need. It's humbling, but it's helpful. The third tool we talked about last week is people. God's given us people who have lived through these situations, who are living through these situations, and who are being led by the Holy Spirit into all truth. We don't have to figure it out in isolation. This is why we are a community of believers under the influence of the Holy Spirit, unified through faith in Jesus Christ. So what if I told you there was a fourth tool? I'm gonna, right? The question really before you today is, will you use it? Will you do something with it? And I'll leave you to decide that for yourself. The fourth tool is praise. Praise is literally musical expression of the greatness of God. We're done. You can go home. Right. No, there's more. Praise repositions people who are in that stress response to recognize and respond to God's voice. Because we're having the stress response, we need to be repositioned. And so what does this look like? And why does it work? We as Christians can understand why this works, perhaps better than the world. But what I'm about to talk about works for all people having musical experiences, because our God is interested in reaching all people. The Apostle John was one of Jesus' disciples, got to glimpse into heaven at the end of his life. God pulled back a curtain and allowed him to see some things, and he wrote a book, and that book is called Revelation. It was there for the church of his day. It's there for us. And one of the things that he mentions that he witnessed six different times in that book is musical praise happening in heaven. Praise is literally the atmosphere of heaven come to earth. It is 100% of the time what God surrounds himself with. It is God's decoration style. My husband has a furniture store. People come in. That's not my style. That's not my style. That's not my style. I love that one. Praise is God's style. This is what he chooses to fill his environment with 24/7. And it's all kinds of praise. Old songs like Moses wrote being sung in heaven. New songs that haven't even been written yet. And they're accompanied by all kinds of instruments. And the voices are everyone's voices. The angels are singing. The heavenly creatures that we can't even imagine are singing. The saints, the people that are now in heaven, are singing. Even this elite group of elders that surrounds the throne is not so marvelous that they don't fall down on their face and sing praise to God. So why would we need the atmosphere of heaven to come to earth in our stressful situations, right? Because we need to be changed. And praise allows us to have that change. While stress brings out the worst, praise brings out the best. Take a look. Praise, while stress hinders our clear connection with God, praise stabilizes our bodies and it stimulates our brains. Remember me saying to you that stress is a physical and mental state, not an emotional state? Praise elicits a physical and a mental state. We're not talking today about an emotional state, which is why there's a career built on these scientific truths, and people get paid to do this. This isn't what is, I'm thinking of the witch doctor. You know, we're not peddling potions. This is God's design for his people, for his creation, and we are transformed. When our brains are fully engaged in singing praise to God, how great he is, it's really hard to do anything that saddens the Holy Spirit. It's really, really difficult. And that's on purpose. God made your brain and your body so you can only do one thing at a time. Even those of you that multitask really well, all you're doing is quickly switching from one to the other. You can only do one thing. It's hard to say nasty words when you are singing how great Jesus is. It is really hard to have a judgmental thought when you are declaring that you lost your life so that I could find it here. It is really hard to wave that one finger of road rage when all five are lifted in praise as you're driving down the road. You're laughing because you're guilty. See, I know. It is really hard to worry about that thing, and you all have one. When you're saying out of your mouth, if creation sings your greatness, so will I. If everything exists to lift you high, so will I. Do you see how even for just 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 15 minutes, praise frees us from the immediate entanglements of sin that we live with every day? It's a gift to us from God. And Jesus is going to be our example today, because I don't want you to just take my word for it. As we have this conversation, we're going to go back to the last night that Jesus spent with his disciples. And two of the Gospels, these books we have that tell about Jesus' life, record something that happened at the end of the Last Supper, after the last cup of wine, before Jesus moved into the rest of the evening, that seared in our brains. And in the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Mark, it's one verse. And so many of you have read it and missed it or never read it at all. And I'm going to read from Matthew today because he was there when it happened. And what he says in verse 26, or chapter 26, verse 30, and then they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. Now, do you think Jesus was in a singing mood? I promise you he wasn't. But Jesus was obedient. And what he knew was what it said in Psalm 100 that his ancestor David had written 400 or so years before he was born. Enter his, this is God's, gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. This is the way God designed for humanity to approach him. And if you need to hear from God, this is a gateway that God has given to you. And Jesus Christ modeled taking advantage of this gateway on the last night of his life when he was facing a stressful situation beyond what any of us sitting in this room could ever imagine. And so I want you to come with me to the supper. The last hymn would have been Psalm 118. We need to understand that as Gentiles because we didn't grow up celebrating the Passover. But any Jews who would have read these gospel accounts would have known that they sang the Hallel Psalms, 113 through 118, as part of the meal. 118 would have been the last song of the night. And while Jesus lived a sinless life, he lived it in a physical body. He gave up the privilege of a supernatural body in heaven, which means he had a hormonal stress response, the same as you and I. And he was completely dependent on the Holy Spirit to survive this moment and even make it to the cross, where he did the work of bearing our sins. And so picture him, right? His betrayer is sitting across the table. He knows what's coming, Jesus does. He knows thorns are going to be smashed into his skull. He knows the flesh is going to be ripped off of his back with the whip. He knows the nails are going in and the cross is going up. And he is full bore stress response. His body is sweating to mitigate the increase in temperature because of all the blood going to these huge muscle groups, causing them to contract with greater force than normal, generating more heat. His pupils are dilated. His breath is shallow. And he's starting to lose the ability to think clearly. And he takes a deep breath and he says this: give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. He's literally instructing himself how to handle this stressful situation. And this is incredibly helpful. This is why professions like pilots and air traffic controllers and soldiers and even surgeons train and train and train and train so that the right response is their only response under stress. And when they serve under stress, most of them serve with somebody in their ear, giving them external instruction, because even the best trained among us cannot continue to function flawlessly and perfectly clearly without help. And so literally Jesus tells himself in this moment through the psalm that God gave his people, I don't care what you want to do right now, body, you thank God. You say thank you and you keep that channel of communication open to the Holy Spirit. Don't stifle him now. Chris Tomlin wrote a song called God of Angel Armies that sounds very much like these verses coming up. Check out 6 and 7. He goes on to sing, the Lord is for me, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? They're going to put him on a cross. Yes, the Lord is for me. He will help me. And I will look in triumph at those who hate me. Words of praise introduce eternal truth into a difficult situation. Situations where it's difficult to recall for ourselves and difficult to believe that that reality is true in light of the circumstance that we're staring at eyeball to eyeball right in the moment. And this is not positive affirmations. Broca's areas, right here behind your right ear, it's your speech center. It's about this big. A positive affirmation stimulates Broca's area of your brain. When you put eternal truth to music, your entire brain is involved in the declaration of eternal truth, which means all those portions of your brain that had been shut down by the stress response are awakened in that moment because God made it so. When we engage music, we are literally changed by the atmosphere of heaven. And other hormones start to be released into our system. They're called endorphins. And these are the hormones that you associate with the hug of a loved one, the touch when somebody holds your hand, feelings of safety and great joy. And as this happens, literally Jesus' breath begins to deepen. Literally his heart rate begins to slow. And physically his body temperature begins to cool. And it's not just because the music is powerful in and of itself. It's because for 30 plus years, Jesus has been singing these same songs, just like our Christmas carols, at countless Passover meals that were safe, that were secure, which means his body knows how it should be, the state of itself, when this song is sung. And so we've got a sense memory recall happening. Literally the words that he has programmed and associated with the relaxation response trigger the relaxation response in the stressful moment. It's the same that happens here when you sing and you are safe here at Wellspring, and then you're sitting in a traffic jam and you sing that song again. Your body will return to this state. Praise reverses the stress response. Take a look at what comes next. My enemies did their best to kill me, but the Lord rescued me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. Songs of joy and victory are sung in the camp of the godly. In this moment, Jesus is literally waging spiritual warfare. Any of you that have set a goal to go to the gym before work and then had that one morning that you thought, man, I'm really tired. I went yesterday. I don't really need to go today. Surely it will be okay if I don't. You know in the moment what it's going to take to get your body out of that bed and get to the gym. Literally, as Jesus' body is saying, no. Because we know it was doing that. This is why he sweat great drops of blood in the garden when he was praying. And yet, he does battle with the truth about his God. And the focus of praise is always God, which is why praise is actually more effective than any other musical experience at reversing the stress response. Take a look. The strong right arm of the Lord has done glorious things. Not my strong right arm. And he was God, right? The strong right arm of the Lord is raised in triumph. The strong right arm of the Lord has done glorious things. He's literally comforting himself with the truth of who God is. And it goes on. I will not die. It's true. Instead, I will live and tell what the Lord has done. The Lord has punished me severely. That's for our sins, folks. But he did not let me die. As more endorphins surge through Jesus' body, his heart rate is slowed, his reasoning capacity is being restored, and it was really important that this happened before he go to the garden, because at the garden he needed to be able to pray, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And if you've ever been in the middle of fight or flight and tried to pray, you know that it's really hard to be thankful. And it's really hard to pray anything of eternal significance. What we pray is, get me out of this now. And so while praise was just one part of this evening for Jesus, it was a really important part, because praise repositions people to recognize and respond to God's voice. It stabilizes our body and it stimulates our minds. And here's why this is important. Because it's something called perception. Perception is being aware of a truth, coming to understand something, learning something, and it has meaning to you. And when we are in a freak out moment, we can't learn. And we can't hear, think, or respond clearly to God. Perception is how we relate to the Holy Spirit. Look, people, we don't tangibly feel God touch us. We perceive God at work. We don't audibly hear him speak. We perceive him speaking. We don't visually see God. At this period in history, he is spirit only. But we can perceive him moving in the earth. And when we engage in musical praise and our entire brain comes alive according to God's design, every sense is awake and real and alive, which means we can more clearly perceive God. He made us this way so that we could know him that way. Now look, the objection, and I get it, is I don't want to praise when I'm mad. Thanks. I don't want to praise when I'm scared or when I feel unloved or when I don't understand what God is doing. And God knows. He knows. This is why he gave us praise as a gift that feels good to us when we engage in it. This is why he had David command it, so that maybe even when we didn't feel like it, we'd at least be obedient. This is why he had Jesus model it. But I know you can lead a horse to water. You just can't make him drink. So I'm not standing up here in any way thinking that I've convinced y'all to just throw down. Scream and shout to the heavens and, you know, whatever you might be picturing in your head. What I would like to suggest is that maybe a first step is just ask God for the willingness to be obedient and sing about how great he is. Because for some of you, just obedience is the first step. Some of you are ready for a second step, which is, okay, I'm being obedient, but man, it's uncomfortable. And so the second step is, God, will you cause me to desire to praise you? Would you cause me to love the atmosphere of heaven the way you love the atmosphere of heaven? And can we just be honest what it looks like if you actually believe this truth? It looks like people showing up to sing. It looks like you taking advantage of this dark room where nobody's looking at you and you might actually sneak a hand up. It looks like taking advantage of the safe place where the music is loud and people aren't listening to you, or in the shower or in the car where nobody else but God is there, and opening your mouth and declaring with music and song how great he is. And somebody's out there thinking, my voice is terrible, God doesn't want to hear it. That is something that some human being has told you, and it's not true. If God needed your voice to sound different than it does, he would have made it different. He's the creator, you know. If he was going to be displeased with the sound of your voice, it wouldn't sound the way that it does. And do you know what else it looks like to believe this is true? When life is the worst, you praise the hardest. When life is the worst, you praise the hardest. If you're in the service that I'm attending each week and you notice that crazy lady over here whose 46-year-old bones are doing this, you know I've had a really bad week. And you know I am really struggling that day. And that's just honest. It's out there. I'm not doing that because it feels good and because I want to. I am fighting a battle against the stress response in my own body because I need to hear God. Are you willing to fight with the tools that God has given? Aren't they glorious? Look, into fear, praise brings comfort. Into the unknown, praise brings certainty. Into the trial, praise brings clear connection with your mighty God. Lord, we thank you for this tool of praise. Thank you that we can experience some of heaven even before we get there. Lord, that is mind-blowing to me. But Lord, I confess that I don't always want to praise you. There were even times this week I didn't want to praise you. And so I'd ask that you would help us to even be willing to be obedient with our praise. Lord, I'd ask that you would help us to desire what you desire, to desire to praise. Give us courage, God, to shake off those things that we believe about praise that aren't true and to recognize it as a gift from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.